You Can Relax, that's the name of our podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Relax the Podcast.
Hi.
I am Colleen Ballinger, here with my awesome husband, Carrot Eric Stocklin. You're back. Last week, you were
I'm
not here.
I'm just existing in the context. Here I am.
Yes. Oh, I love that reference.
It's going to be a hot one. Going to be a hot episode, love.
It is going to be a hot one. It's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot in here. Temperature for us. Is it going to be hot in topic conversation, love?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It's going to get heated.
It's going to get heated, as it always does.
You slow cook.
So many things to discuss, but one thing I want to kind of tease, but also talk about is, I haven't even told you about this yet, so I'm springing this on you.
Okay.
I was thinking it'd be fun to sing a song together today.
Oh.
I know. I really sprung that on you. You look really horrified. Yeah. Well, okay, so it's a long story. It's actually not a long story. It's actually a very short story. I don't know why I said that.
Okay.
Maybe just because every story I tell ends up being a long story. But we had silkworms, and Flynn was really enjoyed these silkworms.
Yeah.
And then they made cocoons and they turned into silk moths. And Flynn and Eric wrote a song together about
one particular silk moth. One morning he was not doing well, the one that he was keeping track of for a couple of weeks. And
because they just die. Yeah.
Yeah. It's their life cycle is very short. And so his feathers were looking feathers.
Wings,
his
bird.
Wings looked
these are huge birds.
Ragged. He was not doing well with it. He wasn't coping well with it. So as I thought it would help his grieving process for this silk moth. I was like, do you want to write him a song?
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with the lyrics, and I just started plucking away on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Shidobido.
Yeah, the silk moth's name is Shidobido.
He named him Shidobido.
And he was just in love with the silk moth. And so Eric's and Flynn started writing the song, and then I thought it was so sweet that I started playing with it on the piano, and then Eric and I started singing it together, and I was like, oh, we should do that on the podcast. So we'll do that later, hopefully.
Okay.
We'll see if it actually happens. So maybe I just teased it for nothing, but the plan is to do it later.
Shidobido.
But we'll get to that later. Lovey, who needs to relax this week?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't even here last week. You did an episode with your sister.
I know.
It's great. Yeah. I looked at the comments for it.
Yeah.
I'll read those later.
Okay.
Who needs to relax?
That was the question.
Okay. I got a couple. This one's kind of the longer one. How do I start this? We were eating, you like plums a lot?
Was that a question or a statement?
You like plums a lot? You like plums a lot and you get plums for our children.
Flynn likes plums.
Yeah. It's not like a thing that I don't think I've ever bought a plum in a grocery store. Never bought a plum.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, do you want to try it? And I tried it and it tasted not what I thought a plum would taste like.
Wait, whoa. What do you mean? You've never eaten a plum before?
No,
I'd
eaten a plum, but I think it had just been like probably 2 decades since I'd eaten a plum.
What?
I'm like going around eating plums. I don't know. It's just like, it's not on my radar.
Okay.
It's just like, I just totally missed the boat on plums. And then you're like, yeah, that's what it tastes like. Because, you know, it's like a prune. And I honestly hadn't put it together that a plum is a dried plum is a prune.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I never really thought about that. Oh, yeah, I guess it is. And then I was like, yeah, and a raisin is a dried grape. And I was like, why are we giving different names to fruits when everything else is just a dried something?
Mm-hmm.
The list goes on. Dried apples, dried apricot, mm-hmm. however you choose to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But like for certain things, they just were like, we'll just give it a completely different name.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And so I thought that was kind of interesting. And so, yeah, grape is raisin. Plum is prune. Cranberry.
Craisin. Mm-hmm. I love a
that
craisin.
That one I like.
I love a craisin.
I love a craisin in a salad.
Mm-hmm, me too.
That's where it's
the actual only place I like a craisin. Yeah. I would never just eat a craisin.
List is not long of these, by the way. Like I had looked really hard to find like more examples of these, but it's really kind of just a few that they were like, we're just come up with a completely different new name as opposed to just saying it's the dried something. See if you can get the rest of these. Jalapeno.
I have no idea.
Chipotle.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
A dried jalapeno chose Chipotle.
Wow. Fancy
which I
that.
Had the other day.
Chipotle.
It didn't go well. For me,
it didn't dry well. Not gonna,
didn't come out dry.
Wow.
Seaweed.
Seaweed when it's dried is it's dried seaweed.
You know what those like the sheets are called? Yeah. They're called nori. That's what that's what they call it. And I couldn't find any others.
That's it?
That's it.
Why did raisins and prunes get such special treatment?
Yeah, like they get like, well, we're gonna name it a whole different thing.
I wonder why that is.
And Crazen really hopped on that bandwagon. But so when I was researching this, and let me get to my research, and by research I mean screenshots in my phone, I came upon an article that kind of blew my mind.
Okay.
The internet's now working. Oh, here it goes. The title of this article is 10 fruits, nuts, and vegetables you did not know were man-made.
Okay.
There's a fruit tree in our yard which has like monster looking lemons, but it's a combination. It's a hybrid between a lemon and an orange tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's crazy that science could do that. But I didn't think it like went further. I didn't feel like entire things were entire sections of vegetables and fruits were completely man-made, and it kind of blew my mind. Do you want to hear some of them?
I really
do. Are you interested in this?
Yes, I am. But I did think that kind of...
Did you know this?
Well, I thought that all fruits and vegetables were kind of man-made at this point because like I've seen pictures where it's like, this is what a banana actually looks like.
Right.
And then, did you hear what I said?
I'm sorry. I was reading it, but at the same time I heard you say bananas, which is on this list.
But what I was saying was that...
bananas in the wild do not look like the bananas at Ralph's.
Right. But they're also like not, it's not that they just don't look like, they don't taste the same. So I thought kind of all fruits and vegetables in general, and I think we've talked about it on the podcast, are completely like kind of man-made. Like they don't look anything like what they look like naturally. Like we've kind of changed everything.
I mean,
that's what I thought.
For bananas, yeah, I can see your point there. And maybe that was like, would be in my mind somewhere. But like, yeah, you know, like I like to, I don't have a green thumb, but I like to garden a little bit, and the kids like to garden. So I'll like plant seeds. And I'm like, here are the seeds. I'm planting the seeds. I don't think that, oh, these were genetically like engineered because this thing did not exist.
So are you saying the things you're about to list are things that are completely 100% man-made altered?
I'll just, alter because like, or for example, cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, kale, Brussels sprouts, collard greens, are related to a specific vegetable, but it does, none of them existed in the wild. All of those, which is crazy
to
me.
No way.
And I was like, oh, that's weird. But like, whatever. Like,
for real?
Yeah. And then I'm like,
wait, say that list again. That was so fast. Broccoli, cauliflower.
They all came from the same species of plant, but are all man-made.
Did you know that I really, really have a strong dislike for the spelling of cauliflower?
Why?
It makes me upset.
Why?
I just don't like that extra. There's like a U in there. That's weird.
What?
It's like cauliflower or something.
You know, the cauliflower? That bothers you?
It really, really bothers me.
The aesthetic of the word?
That one and Tuesday. I don't like that U either.
Tuesday.
I don't like the way that's spelled.
How would you spell Tuesday without a U?
I don't know. I think you would spell it with
like
a U. But
you want an O? You want it to be an O? You want it to be like T-O-O?
Yeah, that's kind of fun. Tuesday. But I don't know. I just don't like the U and the E always just getting all crazy like that. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, continue.
Orange.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
That didn't exist.
Many varieties of orange exist today. However, every variety traces its roots to the man-made hybrid when the pomelo was crossed with the mandarin.
No
what?
Way. Wow.
Orange? I mean, that's a big fruit.
Yeah.
That's a big fruit, man. Peanut.
Peanuts?
Yeah, peanut is a hybrid of two earlier types of peanuts.
So it was a peanut.
Yes. Banana is on this list. Almond is a man-made hybrid of a wild almond, which is notoriously bitter and could be deadly if consumed. Mix it up with something. Grapefruit is a relatively new hybrid. It's believed, although not confirmed, that the grapefruit first appeared around 1693 when Captain Shattuck transported pomelo seeds to the West Indies and planted them close to orange trees. So that's like a hybrid of a hybrid. Because if oranges were a hybrid...
Are you talking about grapefruit right now?
Yeah, I'm talking about grapefruit.
Now, if grapefruit... So none of these were... Wait, okay, now I'm even more confused. So we're not talking like these were in a science lab, like making them different. It's like just...
They like hybrid crossbred the plants.
So it's just like seeds in the wild, like happen to mix.
No. Well, in that case, it was an accident because he planted it too close to an orange tree, a pomelo tree next to an orange tree and a grapefruit. But I mean, that's not that. I mean, I guess that's hundreds of years ago.
If they did any like actual science with grapefruit to make it taste different, they did a terrible job. Grapefruit's disgusting.
Grapefruit.
Like if they're really going to go in and do science with it.
It's weird. They have like a.
Why don't they make it taste better?
You know that a grapefruit spoon exists? Like a spoon for specifically eating grapefruit exists?
That makes sense to me.
To add those little wedges.
Is there only five of them in existence?
It's like a serrated like little pie-shaped spoon. I think, when do I think grapefruit's good?
You like grapefruit juice in like a cocktail.
With vodka.
I just think it's so nasty. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
Boysenberry.
Wait, what's a boysenberry?
No one, I can tell you the history of Knott's Berry Farm and the boysenberry. Because it was invented in California in 1923, love. By someone whose last name was Boysen. B-O-Y-S-E-N.
I don't know that I've ever seen one of those.
In Anaheim, California. I don't want to read all this, but just if you can go do your own research on boysenberry, but you know, Knott's Berry Farm is famous for that. They invented boysenberry. I didn't know that. Wouldn't have known that. Mm-hmm. Tangelo, I mean, it just sounds made up. Natural carrots were either white or purple and probably inedible.
Inedible?
There are even accounts that white carrots were eaten in the Roman Empire, but historians believe they could have been parsnips. Strawberries, number one on the list.
Strawberries aren't natural. I don't think you're correct.
A man-made hybrid of the smaller wild strawberry, which has a shorter shelf life as well as better flavor and aroma. Modern strawberry first appeared in France in the 18th century. However, the hybridization program began much earlier. In the 1300s, French botanists started planting wild strawberries in their gardens. When they realized that the wild strawberries reproduced by cloning, strangely, some strawberries never produce fruits. I don't know. And again, if you want to do more research on this.
I feel like the way you presented this was that these things didn't exist at all, but they all, it's like strawberries were mixed when
here's the thing. I guess like only like not that long ago. I mean, there wasn't TV or cars or the internet or cell phones. And so like people were like, I'm going to be a botanist. And like, that was something like that you could do. And so it's really interesting that like hundreds and hundreds of years ago, people were like, I'm going to spend all my time like playing with plants and like mixing them up and fruits and growing them. And like, you know, and people needed that to survive because it wasn't like grocery stores and like probably the chain of commerce for food was like, you know, the circle was much smaller. So it's like, I don't know. I found it fascinating.
It is fascinating. I thought you were going to be like in a lab, they created carrots and they never existed.
Like on a Petri dish?
Yeah, because I feel like they do that with a lot of fruits and vegetables. They like add weird things to them to make them look all perfect and scary.
Well, no, I know they put chemicals in that. I know that there's terrible chemicals out there used in like mass farming or whatever. And good fertilizers too. I don't know. You know, like it's certainly those ones cost more expensive.
So strawberries, the last one you just said was strawberries were made from strawberries.
From wild strawberries and cloning, and then I stopped reading. The guy worked on it during the French Revolution, apparently.
But don't wild strawberries, like we have wild strawberries, so is that not a strawberry?
Well, maybe they're like, because they're seeds planted from a modern day strawberry in the wild. You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where are you finding these wild strawberries, love?
You literally planted strawberries in the backyard that grow.
Yeah, because I bought a strawberry plant at a plant nursery. That's not wild. What's your definition of wild?
It grows in the dirt. That's wild to me.
I think wild would be like wild by. I'm sorry. It's like in the woods on a mountainside on a hill, like not like you planted it and you bought it at a plant nursery.
It's wild in our backyard.
That's not wild. Those aren't wild plants, love. That's our yard.
No, that's wild plants to me.
You consider our yard the wild?
They come from seeds that have been planted in dirt that then grow into a plant, and that's the same in the wild as it is in our backyard. I'm thinking like free-range chickens that are like out in a beautiful big farm with lots of room to grow versus like chickens in like tight confined spaces where they're not treated right. That's what I think about like wild. Like our strawberries are wild. They live a great life out there.
You're this is the most insane take. I feel like you're just trolling me.
I'm not trolling you.
So if you're driving down the street, or if you're like up in the drive, you drove up into the mountains or something like that, and you saw a chicken like off in a bush, you'd be like, oh my God, a wild chicken, right?
Yes.
But we have a chicken coop in our backyard,
they're wild
chickens. Where they're loved and cared for. and they're in a backyard. You think they're wild?
No, but they're free range. They're not like chemically produced. They're not produced in a lab.
We have a cat. It goes sometimes. It loves to spend a majority of its time out in the yard. Is that a wild cat?
No. And it's also not a, it's, but it wasn't chemically produced.
Uh-huh.
So I thought we were talking about chemically produced fruits and vegetables versus wild.
We are having that conversation because of the modern day strawberry, as we know it, in the wild was inedibles. And same with the almond.
Wild strawberry was not edible?
It didn't
edible?
Taste good. It was like, or no, it didn't have the shelf life or whatever.
Well, they didn't do much and good with almonds, that because strawberries still only last 2 days in our fridge.
What?
Strawberries still only last a couple days in our fridge.
Last, like, it's so frustrating because our kids love strawberries and they last like a day.
And they're so expensive.
God, this wild business has really thrown me for a loop, love.
Sorry if I'm off today. I'm so sleepy. I feel like I'm dreaming a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you for telling me about those fruits and vegetables that were made from from themselves, but just
I don't know.
On
I thought you would be more enthusiastic, but you're just kind of like,
I
what?
I would have been if it was science and genetically altered. Like, that's fascinating to me.
Well, the botanist is a scientist.
But to just say like, oh, they're in the wild and then.
But they don't exist in the wild. It's like an orange doesn't exist. Like, it didn't exist. It's not a natural thing of the natural world.
But it's natural. If it was made.
It's a tangerine and a pomelo tree.
Yeah, but that's natural for them to like. Well, how do you think a tangerine and all these other things, like the evolution of time, like these things evolve and become other things, whatever. So to me, that seems natural that like if you have a huge plant in the wild.
This is more philosophical conversation for you.
I think that like to me, it is still natural if like a botanist is, which that word just makes me think of someone who like cuts people up.
What?
A botanist? Like, if you're telling me a scary story and you're like, and the botanist, blah, 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 and did something really evil, I'd be like, yeah, it's a bad guy. Like, a botanist sounds so like that person cuts up people.
Why? No, they were, no, they
I don't
were
know.
Like
Why
plants.
Do I think that? Why does a botanist sound like a really scary person to me?
I don't know.
A botanist in the wild, like saying, oh, here's an orange tree. I'm going to plant this lemon tree close to it. To me, that's not like a genetically or a scientifically weird engineered
but it did. It made
creature.
A new friend.
It's
well,
just
yeah.
like,
I guess it happens with animals too a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah,
like with dogs especially. You know.
Yeah, most animals are.
Well, I'm sorry.
No,
to
I love it.
You all off
no,
the top.
No one bored. No. No one's bored. Everyone loves it.
I can do a different
and
one.
I did too. No, I love it.
Just delete it. Just delete all of this.
I got my hopes up thinking I was going to learn about all the different fruits and vegetables that literally exist because science made them in a petri dish.
Maybe someone listening knows.
But I don't know that exists.
This. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I just took a bunch of screenshots of a single article I read. it's not like show your work. That's me showing my work.
I think you did a great job.
Oh, thanks, Levy.
You're welcome.
Well, who do you think needs to relax?
We've probably talked about it before, so I won't sit on this topic too long, but I've been real frustrated lately with our good old friend Amazon. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like every time I have Amazon Prime, pay for Amazon Prime so I can get like, and this is going to sound like the brattiest.
Already
relax.
Does.
It already yeah. does. I know. It's very bratty. It's very.
Is your Amazon not coming fast enough?
Well, that's the thing. Is it like,
have they broken promises to
you? It's just knowing that I don't mind waiting. Waiting is not the issue. It's the disappointment of being told because I will order from Amazon because it says it will get here in one day, because it says it'll get here in 2 days. And when I could find it on another website, but it might come in 3 or 4 days, I'm like, oh, this one will get here tomorrow. I need this for the kids. This will get here in 2 days.
You could be supporting a small business, but
yes,
but
I could go on Etsy and get it in a week from someone. But most of the stuff I buy is for our kids. And I'm like, oh, we need this, you know, we need a huge order of diapers or we need a huge, you know, whatever it is, something for their schooling stuff or whatever. I'm like, oh, I can get it tomorrow or in 2 days as opposed to a week from now.
I don't want to run up to the store.
Right. So it's a convenience thing.
I don't have time and this says it can be here tomorrow anyways.
So it's not a matter of like not being willing to wait because I can wait. I don't mind. If Amazon didn't exist, I'd be like, okay, I'm getting it in a week.
Yeah,
if
nothing else, you're patient. I understand.
Anyway, what bothers me is the fact that it says not only will it say 2-day delivery or 1-day delivery most of the time, and it will even say 1-day delivery, and I'll click on the product to look more about it. And then it will say, we'll get here tomorrow, and we'll say the date of tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. So not only when I'm shopping on Amazon, does it say 1-day delivery or 2-day delivery, but then when I click on it, it then says it will be here tomorrow or be here Tuesday or whatever. And it says the date to confirm. And then I go to purchase said thing. And it says even there, confirms again, it will get here on Tuesday, this specific date. Mm-hmm. Purchase. And then immediately the date is changed. This has happened to me all year.
Oh, well, it's interesting. Yeah. I think obviously, I mean, have you driven past one of their like shipping factory centers? They're great. It's crazy. It's like the biggest building that like exists. There's one off the freeway. I've never been inside an Amazon factory, but it's from what I've heard and seen, it seems like it's crazy and they're working as fast as they can. I don't think the shipping department is like completely in line. A question for you. Is this gaslighting?
Is what gaslighting?
Is Amazon gaslighting you?
No, the gaslighting would be if I then called Amazon and I said, hey, you said this would get here tomorrow, but now you're saying it's getting here in 4 days. And then if Amazon to me said, no, we didn't. We never said that. That would be the gaslighting. The gaslighting would be then.
Are they like regretful? Do they say like, sorry, it looks like your package is coming late.
No, I'm sure I could call customer service and be like, what's the deal? What's going on? But it's just frustrating to me that like, I feel like every time I've bought from Amazon in this year, that has happened to me where it like triple confirms the date. Like when I'm shopping, when I click on the product and right before I purchase, it tells me when it's coming. I go to buy it. And then the next day when it doesn't arrive, I look and it'll be like now arriving next week. And it makes me so upset. And it is not because I'm impatient, which I am. I am extremely impatient.
Yes.
But that is not what makes me frustrated. What makes me frustrated is the being lied to get me to buy from them when I could have bought from like a small business or I could have bought from another company. But like the literal only reason I would shop from Amazon is because of the time, because they're like, hey, we'll get this to you really fast. And so when that is promised and then not delivered.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about like, oh, there was a storm. I'm talking like this has been every single time I've purchased something in the few months.
I can offer you a little bit of advice that I've learned because I also use this product and this service. I would say that like when I'm buying something on Amazon and it's like after 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
and it says it can be there tomorrow, I kind of call it, I'm like BS, you know, and I don't expect it.
But then
it'll come the next day. But I just know that like I'm ordering this at, you know, 7 p.m. East Coast time. And like it says tomorrow, but like I've learned through experience not to trust, you know, I think just letting go of like that frustration a little bit and just kind of accepting that like it might take 2 days.
No. Okay. But that's the thing is that like, no, I don't think that responsibility should not lie on the consumer because when this is really frustrating to me is like our kids, you know, they'll go to birthday parties or family members. I have a big family. We'll have a birthday and I'll be like, oh my gosh, their birthday's in 2 days. I need to get them a gift. I don't have time to go to the store. And so I'll buy a birthday gift and like the wrapping paper and all the stuff on Amazon. It's like, get here tomorrow. I'm like, great. I have 2 or 3 days till this party and it's going to be here tomorrow. So I'll have time to get it and then wrap it and whatever. And then it won't come till after the birthday, but every day it'll be like, it's coming tomorrow. Now it's coming tomorrow. Now it's coming tomorrow. And it just keeps pushing it. Drives me bananas. So it's not a matter of being like, well, maybe it'll get here. I just have to assume it'll get here another day. Well, I feel like it should advertise it then.
You're not wrong. And it's, what's interesting to me is that like, this has happened to you a lot.
I know.
For a lot of birthdays, you've been like, oh, the two of your gifts, like they're not about me, but like for all your big family, they're two of your gifts, like haven't come yet. They said they would be here, but they're not. So like, I'll give them to you next time I see you kind of thing. I feel like this has happened a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe when you order presents for people's birthdays, just do it like a little bit earlier. Just do it like 3 days before.
Okay.
Because you were asking for advice, right? You wanted advice from your,
you know, that's you a really good idea. And
mansplain.
What I should be doing. But the reason I'm ordering last minute from Amazon is because I forgot.
Yeah.
So I can't then go back in time and like remember, unfortunately. I wish I could. That'd be nice.
That'd be good.
Anyway, that's my relax. But
that's a good one. I mean, I think people share your frustration, but I mean, also
it's like, not you.
No, it's like, well, what a miracle that's
you know,
I used to order things online. And they would be like, it'll be there in 3 to 6 weeks, which is like a big window and a very long time away. Or like, I was going to say cereal boxes like used to have like prizes.
Oh, yeah.
And you would like, that was a big part of my childhood that I don't know or think exists anymore.
No, I think it's where like
there was
hazard.
Lots of like, send this in to win this thing, or like you would win a thing. And mostly it was around cereal boxes. Cause I can remember cutting up cereal boxes all the time and asking my mom, hey, can you mail this in? Because then I'll get a prize in 4 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember.
And it would be like a coin with like a football team helmet on it, or like a.
I liked it when they had the toy in the cereal and you just shoved your whole arm in the cereal trying to find the toy.
To the bottom. Yeah.
That was the best.
Yeah. Rip the bag out.
Or like Cracker Jack, where it is. Popcorn thingy, caramel corn, whatever. Yeah. And there's always like a prize in there. And it was always like a tattoo or a sticker. And it was just covered in sticky caramel powder.
Those weren't good. But cereal. But yeah,
wait, Cracker Jacks weren't good?
No.
They're delicious. I love caramel corn.
I only think of like baseball games with Cracker Jacks. And I was like would be more of like a sunflower seed person.
Oh, get out of town. Do you eat the shell?
Peanuts. Do I eat the shell? No. What?
That is so much work to shell a sunflower seed.
Yeah.
Sunflower seeds are canceled unless they're shelled. I cannot believe anyone would voluntarily be like, I am going to buy a huge bag of seeded shelled sunflower seeds.
And there's different
individually
flavors. It's like a big thing.
Shell them.
Yeah, it's only in my mind. It's only associated with baseball. It's like
what movie
only.
Is that? Is it Ace Ventura, where he's like eats them and he's like spitting out the shells? Yeah. Is that Dumb and Dumber? I know it's a Jim Carrey movie.
It sounds like Ace Ventura to me.
So gross! I cannot believe that's a. I do like sunflower seeds. Like I do like the seed in the middle.
Yeah, you always see them like in salads now. They'll put.
Yeah, but they're already shelled. Like the idea of shelling it myself in my mouth and then spitting out the shell is so freaking gross.
Imagine if you're like, I want sunflower seeds on the salad, but I only have the shelled kind, and having to like individually each one.
Get out of town.
That'd be crazy.
That is so nasty town.
That'd be nasty town. Certainly, there's a machine for that.
Well, I would assume because you can buy them shelled. What is this podcast?
The same thing it's always been.
Well, like Eric predicted, it is heating up here in this episode. It is sweaty in this room. We don't have air conditioning in our podcast room, so it's pretty hot. We're still dealing with a heat wave.
Yeah, this heat wave is still going.
I'm refusing to believe that summer exists. It's just a heat wave that will go away tomorrow. But it is very warm in here. And you know what else is heating up? The Olympics.
Yeah.
The Olympics started, which I thought the Olympics were already going for like weeks.
I know. I kept seeing clips. Like, do you want to watch the opening ceremony? And you were like, what have we been watching? You've been watching the trials, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. I would just see random clips of like Simone Biles like being... Uh-huh. Not even a human, just so incredible. Crazy. On TikTok. And I thought the Olympics were happening already.
Yeah.
So I was watching a clip this morning of Simone Biles because she's insanely, incredibly talented and the strongest human maybe on the planet. I don't know. She's so amazing.
Pound for pound. But sure.
I was watching a TikTok of her do something bananas. And I out loud go, I don't think she's a human. That's a human?
Yeah.
The stuff she does doesn't look human. She's incredible.
Incredible.
I'm a big fan. Anyway, the Olympics are going on. And I thought you've been showing me a couple of Olympic sports that I did not know were Olympic sports.
I know. What's so interesting to me is that like I've been like watched you. Have you seen any of the women's rugby?
No.
I was watching like women's rugby and I was like I don't even know what rugby is. Like the rules are insane, but they're like not wearing any pads and they're like destroying each other. And the USA has this awesome girl on their team who just like trucks people over. It's just like so fun to watch. Or like badminton, or like how insane those clips are. Like not like your classic sports,
right?
Like track and field or swimming or whatever. But like there are some that are surprising to me.
Well, yeah. So
skateboarding. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right. So I was like, I wonder if there's any I didn't know about. Yeah, I guess air pistol is an Olympic sport. Also, there modern pentathlon. Mm-hmm. Do you know what this is? I didn't heard of it.
Is it in the Winter Olympics?
No, it says athletes who take part in the modern pentathlon, I'm sure I'm saying it wrong, are some of the most well-rounded competitors in the Olympics. The event is made up of five events that have nothing to do with each other, and nothing says modern like fencing, show jumping, pistol shooting, swimming, and running. So they do all of those, and that's like one competition.
What's going on?
Did you know that sailing is an Olympic sport?
No.
Sailing.
Well, that's cool.
So then I went down a rabbit hole, of course, as I do, and I started looking up stuff that used to be Olympic sports, not so much anymore. And this was interesting to
me. Did you know that there's breakdancing in it now this year?
What?
Yeah.
Wild.
Breakdancing is like
the new
one this year. Yeah.
Is cheerleading? I feel like that should be an Olympic sport.
No, I don't think so.
See, that's not fair to me. I think if breakdancing is an Olympic sport, cheerleading should be.
A lot of it, like, I'm just like, I don't know. It's a bit strange. I'm like, this is kind of like Cirque du Soleil. It's like you're the best at like that, this one little Cirque du Soleil trick. Like, mm-hmm. I was watching the, it's like a gymnastics event. It was like I don't know what it's called, but it's like a bench with like two bars on it. And they just kind of swing their legs around and around.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that's called?
Mm-mm.
What that event is called?
I know what you're talking about.
I think
about
it's like, is it pommel horse?
I don't know.
Something like that. But like this guy's just been around and it's, obviously, it's like incredibly athletic and bizarre, but like and freakishly talented about this thing. But I'm just like, it looks like one little piece of like a Vegas Cirque du Soleil show or something.
Yeah,
but I guess these are the. I mean, things that
I think I would definitely say they're much more advanced and talented, and it's a lot harder than
they're the best in the
not
world.
Not that Cirque du Soleil is not hard; that is like impossible.
They're,
but like
they're the best in the world. Yeah,
so well, talented.
I guess there's like a tradition of these things, and they've been around for. I mean, forever, right? Mm-hmm. The Olympics has been around since like, you know.
Well, yeah, can I tell you what there used to be?
Roman times, right? When was the first Olympics?
I don't know.
Okay. Please.
Okay. Ballooning.
What do you mean?
Like hot air ballooning? Which involved pilots using gas balloons to compete in events like distance, altitude, duration, and longest distance traveled, was included as a part of the Summer Olympics Games in 1900, held in Paris. Hey, Paris!
Wow.
This marked the only year that included ballooning as an official event.
Just
the
that
only
one year?
I guess so. Tug of war?
Tug of war makes sense to me. Like way, way.
Isn't that crazy? However,
BC.
I also am a little bit blown away that it's tug of war.
What do you mean?
I definitely thought it was tug of war.
You thought it was tug of war?
Yeah, tug of war. Like I did not think it was tug of war.
No, that's cute. I never
like,
thought
tug
that.
Of war.
Tug of war.
So that was kind of more shocking to me.
When was
the
last
fact,
time you played?
When was the last time I played it?
Yeah.
Zero.
You ever done it?
No interest.
Yeah.
I'm sure I was forced to play it in some school thing, in elementary
bonding.
School or something, and I just didn't do it. And I just like pretended to hold onto the rope.
Yeah.
I just feel like you'd get like a rope burn on your hands. That doesn't sound fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a part of the Olympic Games between 1900 and 1920. At the first two games, teams included 5 to 6 polling members, while the later games included up to 8 people per team. So that's pretty neato.
Yeah.
Pistol dueling. So the Olympics got
off.
A taste of the Wild West, which included pistol dueling as an official event in 1906. Contrary to what the name suggests, it didn't involve any actual dueling. Rather, competitors had to fire their pistols at human-shaped dummies designed with a bullseye on the chest. So I don't know what the current pistol competition is like. So
yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know how different. Croquet.
Okay.
Was part of the games.
It was part of the Olympics.
The Olympic Games. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
It was only included in the 1900 games, just like the ballooning.
You guys are just kind of malleting these balls through these things.
This one's a nightmare.
Why is that game popular? Croquet was like a thing where the people would play in their yards.
I don't know. It's like you smack a ball in like a little wire hoop.
Yeah. Why is that? How was that? How did that become a thing?
See, I think that about every single sport.
No, I like, I would put in the category with like bocce, but like bocce is like fun.
People think croquet is fun.
I don't know that they do, but it's just like there
they
next
do.
To bocce and you're like, I need something else. I can't just play
bocce.
I can't just play bocce all the time. Bocce ball. What do you
What's
mean?
What's bocce ball?
What?
Can you just tell me what it is?
It's where you throw the little white ball and then you got to try and get your big balls. You each get different colors and you like roll them in the yard and you try and get it closer to the white ball. I think it's an Italian game and I think the white ball is called a pieline or something like that. Me and my roommates.
Wait, what's the difference between this and croquet
really
except croquet
bocce.
Has like a hammer thing?
Yeah, well, you roll.
So you're just rolling
know.
It opposed to hitting it with a hammer?
Yeah, we just want to get
so
it's like lawn bowling essentially.
How could you say that bocce is fun, but croquet is not when it's the same exact thing, just one has a hammer, which actually seems more fun.
It doesn't, because I don't think that's how croquet is played. Like, you have to mallet it through like little stick goals, right? So how is that the same game that, it's not the game I explained at all.
Oh, I thought you said it was the same.
I said I put it in the same category.
Oh,
because
I see.
It's like if you're like an outdoor sports store, they'll be like, oh, well, you can buy badminton or bocce or croquet.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never played any of these things that I can remember. Yeah, but croquet used to be one. So that's fun.
Boo.
This one's awful. Rope climbing. Ugh. Love.
When was that? Like,
can you believe it?
The 1800s?
The activity was an official Olympic sport in 1896, 1904, 1906, 1924, and 1932. At the very first event, competitors had to start from a seated position and climb up a 14-meter rope as fast as possible, using just their hands and arms. Initially, athletes were scored based on their speed and climbing style at the following games.
Can you use their legs?
However, the length of the rope was reduced 25 feet in comparison to blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I guess not. But I have a confession. I have never been able to climb a rope. Like in PE in school, in elementary school, because I took PE in elementary school.
I was just going to ask if you like had one.
Well, in elementary, I never took PE in high school, but
in your gymnasium.
Or in junior high, but in elementary school, we had ropes out on the playground, like out on the yard where we did like our obstacle courses, whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you have those in the East Coast?
Obstacle courses?
Yeah, like the obstacle course out on the field. Where it's like you have to, you don't have those on the East Coast?
I don't know what you're saying.
So there's like a field.
Like a playground?
Yeah. So it's, no. Okay. So you have the playground.
I thought you're calling playground obstacle courses.
No. Okay. So there's like at a school, at an elementary school, I'm going to explain to you all the elementary schools I know of growing up in California. There's like the asphalt, you know, where you find your handball, you'll find your basketball, you'll find
hopscotch,
you'll find your four square, you'll find your tetherball,
basketball hoop.
You'll find, stuff like that. Right. And then you'll have like a playground structure of sorts, either on sand or wood chips or whatnot. Sure. Then you have the field in which they make you randomly one day a year walk or run, in my case, a mile in a big circle.
Yeah.
And then on that field, on the very side of the field, there's like, it's like an obstacle course where there's like a wall that you have to jump over and like a bar that you have to twist your body around.
What?
And like, sometimes there's monkey bars involved.
Twist your body.
You have to walk like the crab walk across a big portion of it.
What? No, what?
And then there's a rope that you have to climb.
Did you go to a military academy?
This was every elementary school. They all have it.
No.
I swear.
None that I went to.
So you never had to do this obstacle course?
I went
it's
to
horrible.
Three different.
I
moved.
I was humiliated in elementary school.
We would do something called field day.
Did you have all these
field
things?
Field day was like the Olympics of elementary school, where you would do like a race and like a tug of war and like a... We didn't have an obstacle course. No, we had a field. Yeah. And like,
so
woods.
Where is your rope climbing thing?
In the gymnasium.
In elementary school, you had a gymnasium?
Like an indoor, like kind of basketball. Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Wait a minute. Wait, I just had a crazy thought.
What?
So I grew up in California here, right? And so it's pretty much sunny all year and there's a few rainy days. And I guess I remember on rainy days being in classrooms or in the cafeteria or something during recess, but I don't have many memories of rainy days, but there's a lot of rainy days and snowy days, most places.
Yeah.
And your school's indoors. So like for recess in elementary school, on the majority of the days, I feel like is wintery, snowy or rainy. What do you do? You just sit in the cafeteria?
For recess?
Yeah.
I don't know. For gym, it would be in the gym. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm talking about gym class. I'm talking about like when you normally go out and play on a playground, what do you do with all those kids on a rainy or snowy day?
I think you'd put on a raincoat, love.
Really?
Yeah.
You just go out in it?
Or not.
And then
yeah,
the whole class smells like wet kids?
Yeah.
Oh my.
We do. Well, it's not something I thought about because it was like so normal. You guys out here in California, you're like, oh my God, it's raining.
I can't do anything.
Crazy. You can't do anything. You can't drive. Can't, you know?
Yeah.
But like I remember, you know, being 16 and like having just got my driver's license and like driving a 1984 Volkswagen Fox that had was stick shift and had four gears. And I didn't even know how to really drive it at all. And driving to school at 7 a.m. in a snowstorm because they didn't cancel school, which they probably should have. And like just slipping. I don't like that was and it was normal. And that was normal to me.
Scary. But like in elementary school, would you go out in the snow and play on the playground in the snow?
Yeah.
What? That's wild.
Yeah, right?
I don't know. I never grew up in snow.
It's like all of a sudden I have like very selective memory and like that's like yeah, not, I feel like I can, not a part of it
I know,
at all.
I can't remember rainy days. I know I didn't go on the playground on a rainy day. There's no chance.
Obviously there's days where you wouldn't be able to, but I really, that's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know either. Anyway, rope climbing was in the Olympics.
Yeah.
But I've never been able to do it is what
so
I was getting
can
to.
Can I ask you a question and follow up? Because every school had to do that mile run. It's like part of like the state, whatever. I think they just want to make sure force kids to do that. What was your time in the mile? Do you remember?
First of all, you think that I ever have run a mile in my life is quite hilarious. Second of all, I'm sure I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Because, well, I only ever did, I only ever did PE in elementary school. So I'm not sure that they time you in elementary school on your mile because you're like, I was always under the age of 11 when I was in PE. Uh-huh. So I don't know that they were timing us. And if they were, I don't remember. And I didn't care.
In junior high, did you have to do like a state mandated like physical testing day?
An elementary school?
And no, I said in middle school.
I was homeschooled in middle school.
Oh, because I remember we had a day where they would be like, kind of competitive. It'd be like, who can stretch? There would be like a stretch boxes.
Oh, I feel like I remember
there would
this.
Be like the rope climbing. There would be like a pull up bar and like.
Yeah. To see if you do a pull up. I feel like I vaguely remember this somehow, but I know I didn't do it in high school. So I either did it in like some homeschool group or in elementary school. I think maybe we did do something like that in elementary school in like sixth grade or something. Yeah.
You know, it was crazy. The only reason I remember it is because like we're all, like, it was kind of like a school assembly. It was like all there in the gymnasium with like these different things go, you know, parts of like the testing going on. And there was like this big, like uproarious event where there was like the pull-up finals, because it was like the kind of like jockiest of jocks versus the girl that was known as the ballerina. Like she was just like this really skinny ballerina type girl. And she won the pull-up. Like she did like so many pull-ups. It was crazy. It's like, it meant nothing to her to do that, which pull-ups are hard, man.
I can't do
it. It was like wild, but it's like a vivid memory.
You just unlocked a memory of mine. I did do it because I remember sitting like on the ground
those
with my feet
boxes.
And having to stretch, and they would mark like a line how far my arms
went. For me,
went.
They would laugh because I wouldn't be able to reach the box. I'm like so like not flexible that
Same.
Way. So like I would like wouldn't even be able to reach where they would start measuring. They'd
oh
be like,
God.
Just go home.
Well, anyway, those were just some of, I just thought it was interesting. Some of those weird Olympic games.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, can you believe this is in the Olympics now? Like skateboarding
no.
and
Well, I did, but I couldn't find any because I don't know what's shocking, what isn't. Because every single sport that's in the Olympics, I'm like, that's in the Olympics.
And
I
then
don't
you
know
watch
any-
it and then you watch it and it's riveting. I think a lot of it's like I sent you a clip of them playing badminton. I was like, I can't believe they're playing badminton like this. It's crazy. Or like even like volleyball, like some of the serves that these people do in volleyball. It's like, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. I feel so terrible because I'm so bad at sport things that like, to me, I'm like, oh, look at them playing a sport. Like to me, I can't tell the difference between most sports and like regular people doing sports.
You don't see like a synchronized dive. I'm like, oh, that's the thing. Like
very impressive.
These two girls doing the synchronized dive.
Yes.
And then they go bloop into the water and like barely making a splash. And like,
it's
just
very
like,
impressive.
It's so crazy that this is a thing, but also like how do you do that?
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
I guess you train your whole.
I guess so. The gymnastics is the best though. To me, I like the gymnastics.
Of course.
But,
of course. Yeah.
Jake,
you don't like track and field? Like the.
What?
I don't know.
Like track and field?
Yeah. Like the running, swimming.
No.
People, I feel like those are the big ones.
Not interested in those. I don't watch those ones.
Okay. Basketball? Team USA?
Is basketball Olympics?
Yeah.
Is football?
Football, no.
How come?
Because football is like primarily just an American sport.
What about soccer?
Soccer, yeah. Team USA, well, yeah.
So they go to the Olympics and they don't have like a game like the Super Bowl?
What?
So like football, it has the Super Bowl.
American
so
football,
does,
yeah, no.
Do like baseball and soccer and basketball, they go to the Olympics?
No, they have their own championships here in our country, but there's also teams in other countries and that's who we play.
So is
and
it like...
And a lot of people from other countries play in the NBA. Or
so yeah, that's what I was going to ask is like, I don't know any famous
or Major League Baseball
like, players, but like Michael Jordan was a famous one, right?
Uh huh.
So like, did he go to the Olympics?
He did. It used to be that like college age Americans would play for Team USA, but around Mike, speaking of Michael Jordan, he was like one of the first where they let American pro basketball players play in the Olympics. And he was on what was called like the dream team. Cause it was like him and Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Patrick Ewing. And like, I can remember watching those games vividly when I was a kid.
Did they win?
They would destroy the other teams.
They won gold medals?
Yeah. Yeah. It would crush. It'd be crazy. And it's always news when Team USA loses, but now there's a lot of great foreign players that play in the NBA and are stars in the NBA. So like now it's like certainly more competitive, but there is still like all the best players over there doing it right now.
So the NBA goes to the Olympics.
The best players, like an all-star team.
Oh, I see. Cause there's so many different teams in America.
Yeah. And you can only have like, you know,
got it.
Five people on court at the same time.
Fascinating. I love sports so much.
Yeah, man.
But
I'm learning from you. I'm learning sports from you.
I'm so sports. But I looked at comments because we always like to read comments.
Yeah, so did I.
And you did? What did you find?
I found that everybody thought it was interesting that me and your sister sat the exact same way.
They did think that? And what else did you see? Because I know what I saw.
I honestly don't. I mean, I listened and I looked and because it was interesting to me. Like, obviously, people loved seeing you with your sister.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I was immediately turned off because like, it was just like a conversation about what day is
the odds and evens.
Is odds and even? What I was like, how is this?
It's how are two we still weeks in a row of comments about this. 2 weeks in a row of all the comments.
How is that interesting?
Saying that. Are you kidding? It's fascinating. We've been talking. I'm like, how is anyone listening anymore? We've just been talking about sports for so long.
Oh no.
To me, I'm like, oh my God, this is the most riveting topic we could talk about. That so many people think we're incorrect, that Monday, Wednesday, Friday are obviously even, and Tuesday and Thursday are obviously odds. And everyone, I mean, there's a few people who agree, but pretty much no one. Like most people say that Monday, Wednesday, Friday are 100% odd and Tuesday, Thursday are even. And I think that is bananas. And it is nothing to do. And I saw most people arguing, well, it's like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, there's 3 days and 1, 2, 1, 3, 5. And then a lot of people think Monday's the first day of the week, like you. And so 1 would be Monday, 3 and 5. You know, so that's why they think odd. However, I'm not talking about numbers here. I'm talking about the vibe. Monday, Wednesday, Friday is even. And Tuesday, Thursday, the vibe is so odd. And we're just going to have to agree to disagree.
Who are you talking to?
You.
You're disagreeing with me?
No, you agree with me.
Yeah.
I'm saying we're going to have to agree to disagree with the audience. Oh, they don't agree with us. They think we're wrong.
I just can't believe we talked about that 2 weeks ago. And then you guys seemed like you talked about it for a long time. And then that's...
We didn't talk about it that long. It was just the only comment both weeks. And now that we've talked about it here... That's only going to be.
But I understand what you mean. Yeah, it's just a vibe. But yeah, what I saw in the comments were like people like being like, I'm going to give you a definition of it in Latin for what these words mean. And so therefore they are even and odd. And it's just like, yeah, you weren't saying that.
Right.
You like yawned out your mouth and then swallowed it back up through your nose.
I'm trying not to show because you always call me when I yawn.
Weirdest. Well, why are you always yawning when I'm talking in our podcast?
I am so tired.
You get so much rest.
I am so tired.
You sleep so much.
Last night was so rough. I couldn't sleep. I had such bad insomnia. And then Maisie woke up so many times. Mommy, 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 please. I need to poop. And then she wouldn't poop, but then she was so tired and sleepy and in and out of sleep that she'd be like,
She told me this morning she pooped on you.
She did.
Oh, okay.
So she wake up every hour. Mommy, mommy, I'm going to poop, change my diaper. I'm going to poop, change my diaper. And I'd be like, you didn't poop. When you poop, I'll change your diaper. And then she'd say, I pooped. But she didn't poop. But then she wouldn't stop screaming until I changed her diaper. And she'd start to wake up Wes. So then I'd have to change her diaper so that she'd stop screaming to not wake up Wes. So I changed her diaper like 1,000 times. So all night long. And then finally at 5:30 in the morning, she woke up and she actually pooped and it was a lot of poop. And
she goes, I pooped on mommy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So
and then what's the poop
I was awake almost the entire night. And so I'm just really tired. So I'm not trying to yawn in your face and I love you. And I'm hoping
no,
that
I
I'm
know,
not
it's
being...
interesting. You do this. It's like you French inhaled your own yawn.
Well, I hope this episode wasn't.
Do you know what that is? Do you know what
French inhaled?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it means inhaling in French.
No, it's like It's when you like blow out smoke and it goes out your mouth, but then back up your nose.
Okay.
Think you could do that?
No, I've never smoked.
Never? Nothing?
No, I've not smoked cigarettes. I've tried other things and well, other
crack?
Things, marijuana, and I didn't like it. Crack? Uh-huh. My God. No, I have not tried crack. I've not tried anything except for the marijuana, but I don't even know much about that, as we've found out on this podcast many times.
Not even a clove?
I don't even know what that is.
It's like, you know, the
isn't
spice?
That a spice that you cook
yeah.
with?
Yeah, you can also smoke it.
You can smoke a clove?
Cloves, yeah. That was like a cool kid.
You can
thing.
Go to the grocery store, buy like
when I was
clove
a baby.
Seasonings and like wrap them up in a.
No, I don't think so. I think it's like certainly like a different kind of like treating process.
I don't
but
know.
Like, yeah.
But no, I've never. And even when I have tried marijuana, it's been different kind. I don't think I've ever like.
So when we had that whole blunt conversation, had you ever smoked a blunt?
I don't know, because I don't think I still know what a blunt is.
But you've tried marijuana?
No, but because you said a blunt's like a cigar, right? It's
yeah,
a cigar,
it's
but with cigar, marijuana
yeah.
in it.
Yeah.
No,
so,
I've never had that.
How would you do it? Have you done it?
How have I done it?
Yeah, and what apparatus or in what
this
fashion?
This is when you're bringing this up at the end of the episode here. This is the juice.
Have you smoked a joint?
I've had a puff of someone's joint, yes. I have. I okay. think a joint is not a blunt.
No,
that's just
it's
like,
just like a little, it's like a paper wrapped thing.
Yeah, I have. I've never had marijuana and been like, that was great.
Gravity bong?
I've never, I don't know what a gravity bong is. What's
gravity
that?
Bong's crazy. We're talking like college here. You take like a trash can mm-hmm. and you fill it with water.
What are you talking about?
And then
about?
You take a 2-liter Coca-Cola bottle and you cut the bottom off.
You're
of it.
Making this up.
I am not. And then, so can you with me so far?
A trash can?
Well, like a small trash can, like a desk
oh,
trash can.
Oh, I'm thinking
can.
Like a huge, like Oscar the Grouch metal trash can.
Well, it
can.
Would work too. So you take a desk-sized trash can, fill it with water, cut off the bottom of a 2-liter bottle of Coca-Cola, and then you put like the piece that you would pull out of a bong in like, and you make a little hole in the cap.
What do you mean piece you pull out of a bong?
The piece that you pull out of a bong.
What does that mean?
When you're ripping tubes, man.
I don't know what that means. Is there like there's like a cord in it?
No, there's like the glass piece that actually has it in it that you pull that out. And it's like a little, all right, in any case. So essentially like you have this 2-liter bottle with the bottom cut off so you can submerge it in the water. And then you put the marijuana part on the top of the bottle, which is now missing the bottom, right? And you light that as you lift it. And so it pulls the smoke, the gravity of the suction of the water pulls the smoke into the 2-liter bottle of Coca-Cola, then you screw that top off and all that smoke will just sit there. And then you put your mouth on it. And when you press down, you immediately force all of that smoke into your body. Are we cutting this?
This sounds like a torture.
Isn't that crazy?
Have you done this?
Yeah. I mean, I just can't believe how creative with a variety of different ways people would.
That sounds like a torture device.
We were just in the woods, man. It was like, wasn't a lot going on.
That is wild. How did you discover this?
I could have been doing so much.
How did you find this out that you could do
better
this?
Stuff.
Who thinks there's a trash can? I'm going to fill it with water and cut a Coke thing. And who figured that out?
Some, I don't know, scientists.
And I honestly have no idea what you just said. I do not understand what you just said. So no, I've never done that.
Okay.
And never done that. I feel like every time I've ever tried it, it was a peer pressure situation or like someone being like, oh, this will help with your like pain management of like some pain issue I was having. And then it didn't.
You ever smoked out of an apple?
No, I have not smoked out of an apple.
People do that.
How do you smoke? Never mind. I'm sure you put it in a bucket of water.
I think that was like part of Chapel Roan's whole entrance into the whatever.
Yeah, I'm really naive when it comes to marijuana use. But I've never, the question was, have I ever
French inhaled? Is how
yeah, no,
there.
I've not done that.
Well, cool. Should we sing a song or try to maybe?
Yeah. Okay. So what a segue, marijuana to our child's song.
You can cut me explaining what a gravity
bong
is.
No, I think that was
minutes.
The most interesting part of the episode.
Oh God.
Yes. But like I said, at the beginning of the episode, Flynn became best friends with this little silk moth that he raised from worm. Then it went to the cocoon and it was one of the first ones to exit the cocoon. And he three exited the cocoons the same day. Flynno. And then like Flynn and Shadobido or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like it was like some variation of his own name. And then Shadobido was the last one. And I don't know that he was picking up the same one every day, but for a week
he claims that he could tell them apart.
He could tell them apart.
And that
he said,
loved him and loved to be on his finger.
Yeah, and Shidobido is his best friend. And how silk moths work is, they eat mulberry leaves and they make a cocoon out of silk, and then they come out and they mate, lay eggs, and die. And it's a very, very short life they have. So Shidobido was dying, and Flynn was really sad. And so Eric wrote this song with Flynn.
They can't even fly.
Yeah, they cannot fly. So Flynn and Eric wrote this song together, and then Eric and I fiddled with it later that night. And so we're going to try to sing it for you now, but we won't have our fancy professional mic, so it might sound a little warbled. But this is the song Flynn wrote the lyrics to about Shidobido, the silk moth. And leave comments below before we show it to you. Leave us some comments for next week that aren't about Monday, Wednesday, Friday being evens or odds.
That's
please.
Okay if that's what you want to talk about.
Let us know what you want us to talk about next week. And here is Flynn and Eric's song about Shidobido. Hey, so now it's much later in the night. We tried to sing this earlier at the piano and it did not work out. The sound was horrible. However, there's one cute moment with Maisie. I was testing the mics and she was wearing one of the mics. And that was very cute. So you'll get to hear that. But now it's, one in the morning? I don't know what time it is. It's late. And we're going to try to do this and not wake up our kids. Here we go. Shidobido.
Shidobido. Shidobido. Shidobido. Do you know that I love you? You were a silkworm, and you were a silk cocoon. You're a silk moth. You were the first silk moth I saw. Yeah, you seem to like me a lot. You can lay your eggs on a leaf that I picked from my mulberry tree. Say that's all, but it's not. You were my friend, and that's a lie. Shidobido, no, you have to go, but I should do. Shidobido, love you.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.